This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Mike Shope.
I go into nice family restaurants and I see people throwing this name around and pretending as though everything is just fine. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings. I propose that we as a city remove the...
And the bulldog.
Boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders, which are already boneless. I don't go to order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't ask for boneless auto repair. It's just what's expected.
It's Mike Shope and the bulldog.
I propose that we rename boneless wings in the city of Lincoln. We can call them buffalo-style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash.
On WGR.
We can take these steps and show the country that we understand that we've been living a lie for far too long. And we know it because we feel it in our bones.
Sports Radio 550.
I shuddered a little bit at that Seattle thing, thinking about John Clayton in 2 hours. I don't know if I want to bring... At least it's not Wilson. It's Carroll. Who knows what'll happen? John is not. It's almost like the only thing we've ever asked him about where he seems mad to get the question.
Right.
About Wilson maybe leaving, wanting to leave the Seahawks.
Right. Which is funny because he's in Seattle. Like, but so maybe we just don't talk about Seattle with him
anymore. I know, but see, like that's the thing. That now Pete Carroll could be out of there by the time John comes on at 5 o'clock.
Right.
If they do, like. They're having a meeting and no one knows.
Right.
You know what we do know, I think? That Carson Wentz won't be the Colts quarterback for much longer.
That seems pretty certain. Yeah, that really, you try, I think, to like not drop any bombs during these things. But, I mean, that response from the GM was pretty telling.
Pretty good.
pretty telling.
At the time, we thought it was the right decision.
Right. And I don't want to comment about who might be here next
right.
year. Okay. Let's just it's not hard to connect those two thoughts, and where does that leave you?
What would you guys say if you didn't want to give it away? What would a GM normally say? If he's thinking what maybe Ballard is thinking, which is, yeah, I think we're gonna move on. How does he say it? I mean, you can't blame him for not wanting to talk about next year's roster. Today's not the day to talk about next year's roster.
Right. Yeah. You know, Carson stabilized the position for us.
Good.
You know, he did some very good things. The team really responded to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a natural leader. And, you know, none of us are happy, least of all him.
He'd be the
first
one.
Most of all him. I might get that wrong. Sorry. You know, nobody's happy with how the season ended. He knows he's got to be better. Blah, blah, blah. How'd I do? Was that pretty good?
Yeah. He's the first guy who would tell you that there are things to work on.
Right. And, you know, none of that would be believable.
But it gets him out of the spot.
It gets him off the spot. It gets him out of the, we thought it was a good idea. I'm sorry, we were hammered and, you know, desperate. So it seemed like a good idea. And I don't know if he's going to be here next year. I mean, it's January. What is it, January
13th?
13th. You know. Rather than that, just say a bunch of stuff that everyone's going to be cynical about believing, and then we'll just leave it by the side of the road, and then you do what you're going
to
do.
Then all he has to really worry about is guys like me who get mad when they just don't tell you anything,
right.
As opposed to like everybody who's not mad, but they're sort of commenting on him today.
Right.
He could say, if he thinks of it, he'd be like, you know what? there's always a transition with a new quarterback. We started 0-3, and he brought us to, you know, one game away.
Yep.
So there's that, too, you can go with, if you think of it.
I mean, if you usually don't get specific mentioning other teams and their players, but, you know, a lot of good teams in the league lost to some teams that are going to be drafting pretty early in April. You know, he could have gone with that. I mean, without saying, Josh Allen was an MVP candidate and he lost to the Jaguars. You know, you don't have to get specific, but you could, you know, allude to, you know, it's football and things happen and one day, any given Sunday, blah, blah, blah. Like, there were a lot of ways to get. He should have called us. He's a local guy. Like, he should have our number.
He is?
Isn't Ballard, Chris Ballard, isn't he St. Francis, or am I confusing him with somebody else?
No.
Sorry.
Not. I don't think so.
Okay. My mistake.
There are only so many NFL GMs who went to St. Francis.
Right.
There are only so many.
He's from Galveston, Texas.
I was going to say, he's from Galveston, Texas.
Sorry. Yeah.
I was just about to say that.
You can tell I didn't listen to the news conference then, can't you?
I think you wanted Tom Telesco there.
Yeah, thank you.
Chargers GM.
Chargers, yeah. All right.
And there's another one.
Oh, there is more than one.
Is there a Caldwell who went there? I forget right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry I let us into this ditch.
Look, we'll get out.
Okay.
Would you rehearse for these press conferences? Like, would you rehearse? Do you have somebody that sort of goes over it with you?
I think you should. I think that's... I guess I've always imagined that, you know, depending on the sensitivity, like I don't think Derek Boyko sits in a room with Sean McDermott before his Wednesday news conference, you know, but if there's some special circumstance, maybe a few times this year because of COVID stuff, you might have done that for just a weekly media appearance. But for a big one like this, where you're summing up the season, yeah, I think you should sit in a room and have questions fired at you by, you know, people or a person pretending to be the media. Like, what are your feelings on Carson Wentz coming back next year? And have an answer, like, say what you know, maybe just off the cuff, just answer, and then have the person or the people that are listening to you go, yeah, you're going to want to avoid that. Here's what you want to say instead. I think that would be time well spent. Myself, I mean, I don't know if football people would roll their eyes at it. I think some of these performances over the years lend you to think that they might roll their eyes at that, but I don't think rehearsing for news conferences is far-fetched at all. Maybe for some football people it would be, but I don't think in politics, for example, it is.
Since you've been talking, we've had an NFL coach fired. Do you want to guess who it is? It happens to be somebody that Joe and I were talking about half an hour ago. This is kind of a hint, I guess. It works as a hint. Like, what's going on there? We talked about this team earlier, like, just, you know, off the air.
Yeah. Well, let's see. It's definitely not going to be Pete Carroll because he's just having his meeting now. So, David Culley.
Correct.
I really didn't look on Twitter. I wasn't killing time.
I hope you didn't feel the need to tell me that.
Right. Well, I did, because what I was doing was opening the standings to look at the bottom teams, because I needed that crutch. It took me that long to get to my standings page. I went to the bottom and went, Jets aren't firing their guy. Okay.
Detroit is in love, so.
Right. The Giants already fired their guy. I guess it could have been Matt Rhule.
It could have been Matt Rhule.
Yeah. Chicago already dumped their guy. So, yeah, Culley.
I think I would have guessed Matt Rhule first because I would have forgotten about the existence of the Texans.
Yeah.
Without a list, like you used a list of teams.
This is why I needed to look at the standings. Also would have forgotten about the Texans.
Yeah. Rhule, like, that kind of makes sense, but... See, there was this... there was this rule this year that teams could use the last 2 weeks of the regular season to interview future candidates. But hardly anyone did that. Like, the Bears, why didn't... It's funny, Joe Ostrowski's coming on, and he often, I think, listens... I know, he's said it. He listens to us before he comes on, you know? I think that's really cool. And here I'm going to make a point about the Bears, his team. But Like, everybody knew that one. The Bears, it was out at Thanksgiving that they intended to move on from him. Now, that doesn't have to be right, but it seems like it would be a pretty good advantage. Like, so the Giants fired Judge, was that even like Tuesday? It wasn't right away. I mean, the time went by and he was supposed to be staying, and then they fired him like Tuesday night, maybe that was.
That was Tuesday, like at 5:30.
Yeah.
Joe had it in the updated 5:30. I didn't hear
and
it.
You missed
you
it.
Started talking, and I misunderstood.
Okay.
I thought we were speculating about Joe Judge, but it turns out he had just been fired.
So, no. Monday morning, guys are getting fired. Zimmer, Nagy, the morning after the last game. Happens every year. Tuesday night, the Giants get to Judge. He's out. The owner has a press conference then or yesterday where he's talking about, you know, stuff and... The GM, they don't have the GM either, so they have to interview GM candidates, and he says the GM will pick the coach, which seems, you know, logical. But aren't you pretty far behind? Like, so they're doing GM interviews right now. The Bills guy, Shane, interviewed there. They're doing that right now. They might feel like there's time pressure on that because they need the coach then, and other teams are going to start hiring people. Jacksonville was the one team that did this. I mean, Urban Meyer was out weeks ago, and so they were in this position, and I think there were interviews during the last 2 weeks of the regular season. I don't think anybody else did that. And, you know, you're out of the playoffs. Why can't you, as an organization, as the owner of a team, come to that decision with two meaningless games left? You know, the Texans included. What have they been up to the last 2 weeks? Who cares? Like, why do they just meet after the season's over because that's what you always do? And like, oh, you know what? Actually, if guys get hired, whoever, you know, that might be, it could be Jim Harbaugh for all we know. If the supposed top candidates get hired and you're the Giants or the Texans and you're just lagging behind because you just took too long to figure it out, well, that's bad. Like, imagine the Bills in this situation. Would we have wanted 10 years ago, whatever, it doesn't matter what year it is, but if that were the rule, and it just felt like this is going to happen, you know, it would look bad on them. I don't need to be just repetitive, but it just feels like that's kind of obvious.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I myself doubt that the owner of the Giants or some ownership arm, some limb of ownership, wasn't thinking about candidates to replace the guy they ended up firing on Tuesday night. And I also would doubt that they aren't talking to people that they consider to be candidates, or at least compiling lists. And the notion, like, I think a lot of, well, the GM, we'll do the GM and he'll decide on the coach, is something to just sort of keep order. The Giants right now are under attack for the family nature of their business and the influence. I mean, it was even addressed in that news conference that Mara had yesterday. So they, I think, want to maintain the appearance that whoever they hire as GM is going to be choosing the coach. But my bet would be, sure, that GM would have ideas, but they would also have a list of people that they've either already contacted or know to be interested in the job that they like. And, like, so you can choose, but here are five people that we think would be good. Wink, wink.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bears, same thing with the Bears, right? Like, they fired everybody. They're asking to talk to coaching candidates while at the same time saying that the GM will choose the new coach. Like, how is that supposed to work exactly? Like, those two things do not jive, you know? You can't not have a GM and say the GM is choosing the coach while you're lining up interviews for the coach. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's one more team where the Bills could lose one of their coordinators. Houston. And
sure.
Maybe Seattle. But we don't know yet. Maybe John Clayton will know. So, speaking of the Bills, yesterday was a show where I spent the whole drive home thinking about it for a couple different reasons, good and bad.
Me too.
Was it? The entire walk downstairs last night from his attic, Bulldog spent pondering the developments of yesterday's four-hour show. He took really slow steps, really slow steps. And so, anyway, there was one kind of theme that developed in the second half of the show, which was, what if they lose? And people like really responded to that. You may not know this out there, but getting responses from listeners is good for us. Like, that is something we should be striving for. So anyway, you can read into that as you please. Like, there are times, you know, where it's kind of like a strategy. And you know, you still want to be genuine and everything, but, you know, it turned out that people were responding to that. Joe had a game ready. I'm always ready to talk about the rest of the league or prop bets or fantasy stuff. Never seemed right. You know, we had people, one guy called in and went on for 7 minutes, and another guy called in and seemed to be thinking, I should be able to go on for 7 minutes, and wait till you hear my dome story. Like, God.
Right.
So, like I said, some good, some bad, but anyway, that was the day. And so, in the beginning of that, when it was more us talking and less of people calling in, I felt it. Mm-hmm. I always tried to be thinking about, what does this sound like to listen to?
Right.
And I was always trying to say, I really don't want to be talking about what if they lose. You know, I think this is really interesting emotionally, comparing it to last year and other Super Bowls and whatever. It's really interesting, but I don't want to be sounding like that.
Right. What are we going to do when they lose? Is, you know, like, the pinnacle of, like, yeah, I mean, it's nowhere I want to be
before
a game.
So one person I saw tweet at us and to complain about it, like to complain about how, boy, you guys, you know, what if they lose? Come on. Of course, the guy had a Scott Norwood avatar with his head hanging after missing the field goal. That's the guy who complains about us dragging down the whole town with, you know, what if they lose? So anyway, I'm making an announcement today. For today and tomorrow, I'm not even going there. No matter how interesting it might be, no matter how many heartstrings are tugged or touched or whatever the phrase is, I'm not going there today or tomorrow. They're favored to win. They're the better team. Let's go. Let's play. And if they lose, then we'll talk about it after that. You know, we'll talk about it Saturday night and next all for the next six months.
Right.
But not today, not tomorrow. There.
All right. I can get behind that. But what are we going to do now?
Well, Joe has a quarterback game, and no. I mentioned prop bets. I've got Allen's if you want them. You can tell me if you think this is a good night.
Okay, sure.
You guys both. Ready? This is at Bet Rivers. Allen, his over-unders on attempts, completions, and yards, the lines are at 23 for 35, 243.
That's a good night.
And the touchdown pass number is 1.5. Kind of even money on either side. Yeah. 23 for 35, 243, and 1.5 touchdowns. How does that sound? Good night?
I think that sounds like a good night in what we expect to be the conditions. Like right now, sitting here on Thursday at 315, 320, I would sign for that in blood.
You're kind of saying you would bet the unders if you were to bet. Because you'd be impressed with him hitting those numbers.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I might bet the over on the touchdown pass just because I really would like to with those other totals. But if he's close to those totals, like I'm not, you're right. I'm not about to hammer the over there. But if we get done and we're sitting here at midnight on Saturday night and Allen is, what did you say, 23 for 35?
Yep.
All right. If he's 20 for 30. For 235 yards and two scores, they won the game, I think, and that's a good night in those conditions.
The two scores tells you they won?
I think so, yeah.
Because you don't think New England can score like that.
I don't think they can.
Like Mac Jones to throw two touchdown passes, the odds are different.
And I would trust if he throws for that amount, even that's not a crazy amount of yards, but I think you're in position to score more points than just the two scores he delivers. And so whether that's, you know, Singletary or McKenzie on a jet sweep or, you know, whatever. There's, you know, I feel like I'm two touchdown passes from him, I feel like gets me to 24 points. And I think 24 points wins this game in those conditions.
Okay. I think that all makes sense. I just want to add, sometimes the losing quarterback is the one with the stats, right? Because they're trying to catch up. Like I was looking at the Raider game, trying to put these fantasy lineups together and thinking about the Raiders passing game. And I think I want to bet over on all of it. Cincinnati's got a good defense and that's going to be priced into those odds. But like if the Bengals start hot, then Derek Carr, that's my one. Derek Carr will throw 55 passes in that game, you know, just some game like that. So,
yep.
Well, does the cold forecasted for Saturday night, is it about the cold or is it about the Patriots or the combination, right? I mean, it's the combination to that me, make you want to think modestly about all this.
It's more the cold. It's more the cold. I mean, I recognize that Allen had what really amounted to almost a perfect game there a few weeks ago at Foxborough. But I think he can move the ball and throw. I think he showed that if you want to sit back, I will take what you give me. And provided he's willing to do that again, I think that you can find success there. If you want to get aggressive and come after him and play more man, I think they will get eaten alive, the Patriots. So the reason for the modest expectation is that the ball is going to be a frozen rock and really slippery, and so you have to account for guys being open and the ball either not being delivered accurately enough or it, you know, just drops. You know, I just think you're going to get miscues. Hopefully those don't turn into turnovers, because if they do, then you could be in real trouble. So the weather almost entirely is all of it for me. Okay. Like I've watched Allen play the Patriots now four times. One time the weather was ridiculous, and two times in Foxborough it wasn't, and he ate them up. You know, the game here last year was not maybe on par with the two that were there. It was a much closer game. But I trust that they can move the ball on this team and score.
Talk to Joe Ostrowski next from BetQL. Sal Capaccio and John Clayton today as well. The Sabres game is at 8 our time in Nashville, so pregame at 7 after we're done. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, welcome back. The game Saturday night, 8:15 kickoff. Temperatures around 5 degrees. One of the coldest games, maybe the second coldest, that's what that would be, in Bills history. On the line now, the host of BetQL Daily and Odyssey Sports betting insider Joe Ostrowski. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Joe, how are you?
Fellow D-Gens, how are you doing today?
You would have been proud of me. I was shopping around until I found Arizona plus 4.
Very good. Yeah, I saw this morning that it went down to 3.5. I think that's a good spot, because it certainly seems like that number will only shrink once we get closer and closer to Monday. Open 5. Came down a little bit, but yeah, that's a number you probably want to jump on. Same point spread as the one that you guys have been talking about every day.
Yes. Bulldog, by the way, do you want to defend yourself on the D-gen remark?
on the what?
The D-gen remark? Bulldog, I mean, he's not in the streets, you know. I admire this about him. So just thought maybe I should point that out.
I made the assumption that after 1 week you guys were all in on sports betting. That's all.
Joe, maybe. Yeah. Sneaky Joe, I think.
No, I'm waiting. Honestly, between all of us, I'm waiting for work to tell me which company to get behind. I'm slow playing it. I'm cool though.
Definitely.
I'm slow playing it though.
We'll continue to monitor the situation. How about that? So you alluded to the Bills line, Joe. It's 4-44 at FanDuel, and it's around there everywhere. What do those numbers say?
Well, let's start with just, and you can bring this to all the games, and it does matter when it comes to your team this weekend. How you handicap the postseason versus the regular season. It's a lot of the obvious stuff, but it's even more so once we get to the playoffs. We're going to have five quarterbacks starting their first playoff game. And when you look at those numbers, including the Patriots guy, since 2002, quarterbacks in their first playoff game are 10-31 straight up. That's only 24%. They're 13-28 against the spread, covering at only 32% of the time. Wow. Obviously, that is the case with one Mac Jones, and he had a terrible, terrible finish to the season. So the December 6th matchup, we all remember that win. That line was also 4. And the total just about the same, sitting at 44 right now. That one closed at 43.5, went way under, but it was a different scenario on December 26th when your Bills took care of business there, won that game. The point spread was only 1.5, and that one obviously going way over the number. So I think it's in line with what we saw going back to certainly that first matchup. Or they viewed the Bills, okay, even if we're on a neutral field, the Bills are the better team. Home field is not what it once was when we used to think it was 3. It's closer to 1.5 right now at most spots. So the sports betting market is saying that the Bills are the better team and that they've had it right in these first couple of times. And the numbers right from the onset. There's been a little movement this week on some of these games, but Bills-Patriots, not one of them. It's been rock solid. At some spots, it opened at 4.5, went down to 4 immediately, and this thing has not been budging.
Joe, we've been talking about wind so much, going back to the first meeting with the Bills and Patriots here on a Monday night, that I'm not positive that we've talked about wind's impact on point spreads. We know weather is a part of it, but like, it's not going to be windy, yet it's going to be frigidly cold, like 0 probably at some point during the game, maybe 5 degrees when it kicks off. So like, how much of an impact is weather having on the betting and on the lines here, both the over under and the line itself?
Have you heard? Josh Allen's the worst quarterback ever when it's cold outside. With a sample size of 5 games, as he's still learning at this stage in his career, people have made the decision that he's terrible anytime it's cold outside. It's notable, but people are going way too far with the Josh Allen stuff. And we're seeing this in all the games, right? Like, Dak Prescott is a sample size of a whole 3 games. He's 0-3 against the spread in the playoffs, so he's a horrible quarterback in the playoffs. I'm like, I understand seasons end and Super Bowls are won on small sample sizes, but we need to wait a little bit more. Now, as far as the weather, the wind is what's going to impact it, and look to the totals. So we've seen this in multiple games this week where there is expected to be some poor weather. Tampa Bay, Philly, that total keeps coming down. It was 48.5. And we're down to 46. Mm-hmm. The Dallas-San Francisco total has gone up a couple of points throughout the week. Sitting the same on Sunday night with KC-Pittsburgh. Not much movement in Monday. But it really is about the wind. And Cincinnati, I know it's going to be pretty cold over there. That's not moving the numbers. That's not moving the point spread. It's all about the wind. Now, once we get closer to game time, and if you start to see reports – gusts of 20, 25 miles per hour, you're going to start to see those totals crash.
Supposed to rain in Tampa, but now I've read today that maybe that'll be over by kickoff. That is on Sunday. with Joe Ostrowski of BetQL. Is there a certain best way to bet the playoffs? Like, would you just be on sides or props? I mean, maybe futures. Maybe there's a difference between what the futures odds look like, and then instead, as opposed to like the games that would need to happen, the results that would need to happen to get you there. Any sort of good tips in terms of strategy?
Sure. A tip for futures, because a lot of people, like, you see these larger numbers. Like, let's say you think San Francisco, they can win outright. They can make some sort of a run, and you're enticed by the 20, 22-1, somewhere in that
right.
range.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you play it out, is there more value in taking San Francisco in that range right now or doing the money line rollover? And most of the time when we're in spots like this, now that we've got the teams, you have your teams that are out of the picture, and we know for the most part the path, or we can come up with an idea of what the path would be for a lot of these teams to make the Super Bowl. If you're looking for some value, the better idea is to do a money line rollover. And what I mean by that is I would take the underdog, take whatever money you want to start with, put it on the underdog to win outright. And if you win, then now you take all of that money and now you put it on money line next week. And then you always have that option to get out of it. If you don't like the matchup in one particular week and you don't think they're going to have it, you can pull out, you can take your winnings at that point. But and in the end, you're going to end up making a lot more money than just a Super Bowl winning number, because a lot of the value has been completely sucked out of the market at this point.
Does it depend on the team or the matchups a little bit, though? Like San Francisco, for example, what'd you say, 22-1, if that's right? Like, that probably assumes they go to Green Bay. They don't have to go to Green Bay, right? Philadelphia could win, and they would go to, you know, the Rams or the NFC West. Is that a factor or no?
Right. Well, the other part is, are we going to be underdogs throughout? Right. Are you going on the road? Then you're likely going to be the underdog.
I mean, you could probably get pretty convoluted here coupling bets. Like, okay, so I like the 49ers future if the Eagles, you know, and then that could get a little bit crazy, but good advice. And I was starting to think, like, I'm going on the app as you're talking. Do I find it's like rollover? Where's that? But you just do that yourself on your own. You're betting the game and then betting the next game next week, et cetera.
Yeah. And another reason I would consider that is then you're not put in a position. Okay. Let's say you're right on a team and it keep hits and they're winning. They're making their run into the playoffs. Okay, cool. If you get to the Super Bowl, you don't need to be in a position where, okay, now I've got to hedge against my bet too. You can decide, do I want to do this bet again? Do I want to roll it over? Or do I want to take some profits out as well?
What's your favorite bet of all time that you've won? Assuming it's a win and not a loss.
A future or?
Anything.
Anything?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's got to be Robbie Ray 100-1 this summer.
Oh, right. And we never talked after that because you were sick after that. I never got a chance to congratulate you on our show for that win. That's amazing.
That was around the All-Star break. I actually remember placing that bet. I was at my kid's baseball practice, and I'm looking down at the All-Star break. I'm like, boy, these metrics for Robbie Ray, I mean, they're in line. He checks a lot of boxes with his high strikeout rate. He can go on a big run here. Yeah, and I found him at 100, so I took a shot there, and it paid off.
And I wouldn't have followed that like you, but when you started the tweet about Robbie Ray, I thought of one thing, which was, of course, the Blue Jays played a good number of their games in Buffalo, and I went to 7 or 8. Like, it was just the best. Having the Blue Jays here, it was just my favorite thing. And so you could sit right down on the dugout. I remember one game I went to, Robbie Ray pitched, and they did the thing, Joe, where at the end of the inning, he would come off the field, and the umpire would meet him in front of the dugout and check his hat, right?
Like, yeah.
And the one time, the first time, maybe the only time I saw that happen with Robbie Ray, he was laughing. Like he seemed like a really good sport about it. Like, okay, here you go, you know, like that. And it made me like him. So I was sort of happy for you, and then also happy for him when he won because of that one thing.
I really like him. He's my favorite pitcher ever.
Buy a jersey.
Yes. Exactly.
That's what we do. I don't know if you have one, Bulldog, but I would really love to hear Joe on the Dallas 49er game. I know you just use them as a futures example, but I tweeted at you about this. Like, I can't figure it out. You've got you take the quarterback matchup. Prescott can be so good, and the weapons and everything, like, that's an easy Super Bowl sort of idea, I think, Dallas. Second best point differential in the league. Then you consider those pass rushers, and what does that mean to San Francisco? Garoppolo is not mobile. Do they sacrifice Kittle to pass protection in this game? I think they might. But, you know, the 49ers have a lot of good players, and they've won a lot of games late, and they are a 3-point favorite or underdog, and that really hasn't moved either, right? So I can't decide.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to. This is the toughest one. It's the best matchup of the weekend. And when you're at 3, the key number in the NFL, it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot to get off that number. And I wouldn't expect that to happen. I've heard strong cases on both sides here. It's, you know, at times, when you dig into certain metrics, you could make the case that in the second half of the season that Garoppolo has actually been better. But you're right about the ceiling of the Cowboys. What can't they do? I mean, if they're on offensively, if they're still creating turnovers on defense, they can go to Lambeau and win. Like that's a team that has that sort of a ceiling. There's always the McCarthy factor that you wonder about, and how much was luck this season with the turnaround season they've had on defense. Diggs has had his issues in coverage, but he's also accomplished something that we haven't seen in 40 years, with 11 interceptions on the year. I like San Francisco. I'm really torn. It just comes down to I'm getting the points. I'm getting a full field goal. And I've got Kyle Shanahan going up against Quinn. I've got Kyle Shanahan in-game decisions going up against McCarthy. So I like that. Shanahan as an underdog, he covers 60% of the time, 25-17 against the spread. And, you know, Deebo Samuel is still somehow one of the more underrated players in the league, and how they've used him in the run game has been terrific in the second half of the season. I hope Kittle's not hobbled for Niners. But Trent Williams has not been practicing this week. He's saying he's good to go. That's going to be big, so keep an eye on that with the injury report. I've been torn on that game as well. Not as much as on the Monday night game, but I'm thinking go with San Francisco, take the points there, but could Dallas win and cover? Absolutely.
What is your hang up on the Monday night game? Lay that out for us since we got there.
Sure. Yeah, I hate both of these teams, and I wanted to bet against both of these teams, and now they're facing each other. That's my big hang up. It's amazing. Midway through the season, I'm sure there were people in their weekly power rankings that were saying it was Cardinals number one, Rams number two, and here they are facing each other in the wild card round. Just terrible finishes for both of them. Can you trust Stafford with his 7 interceptions in the last 3 games of the season? He ends up tied with Trevor Lawrence for the most in the NFL. And then Cliff Kingsbury team fading down the stretch. We've seen that in the past. The numbers weren't spectacular before the injury, but it's been stark. The drop-off in the Arizona offense when Hopkins is not on the field, and obviously they're not going to have him this weekend. Arizona's been great on the road. As an underdog on the road, they've won 6 different times. So I'm just looking to take the points. I'm going to take Arizona +4 there, but it's not one of my stronger opinions.
Joe, the Pittsburgh, I haven't looked today, so I don't know what the current line is, but I know it's been big. Pittsburgh at Kansas City, I mean, it just looks like a slaughter waiting to happen. But yet the number's going to be pretty big, and Steelers do have a good defense with some really impactful players there. Watt and Fitzpatrick, I might be thinking of chiefly. I mean, I don't know. What would you advise doing on that game?
Well, Andy Reid says the Steelers are playing like a 1 seed.
Yeah.
So don't
and Roethlisberger says they have no chance.
I think Big Ben's right about something. The matchup the day after Christmas, when it was 36-10, Kelce did not play, and Tyreek was just coming off the COVID list. Not much involved there. He only had 2 targets, 2 grabs for 19 yards. It was the Pringle 2-touchdown game. The Steelers have not been showing up in the first half of games. In the last 6 games, They have been outscored in the first half by over 100 points. 100 in the last six games. I like Kansas City -7 in the first half. I am a little worried about laying double digits in the playoffs because garbage touchdown at the end. We've seen that in recent weeks from the Steelers, and then maybe they could sneak in and cover the point spread there. But at Arrowhead, start the playoffs. Mahomes in his first wild card game, believe it or not. I like Kansas City to cover the number, and it's probably going to be ugly for Roethlisberger's finale.
Before you go, I want to tell you why I like Arizona.
Okay.
And, you know, do with this what you will. I did much worse than Bulldog in our picks this year, so he's the guy you should probably turn to. But it's maybe not great process, Joe. I want to believe in Murray to be like a stud here in the playoffs. You know, this is his first game. I don't know if Derek Carr is going to do that for me. I don't know if Jalen Hurts is going to do that for me, or Jones, these other guys playing in their first playoff game. I mean, this is a 101 pick. Last year he gets hurt. They miss in the last game. They did have a good season. And he doesn't have Hopkins, that's true. He's got guys, you know. Both running backs catch the ball and have scored. They've been very productive. I'm thinking they both play. Zach Ertz is the man, by the way, in the last month. Tons of targets. Maybe A.J. Green has made it through the season. That's kind of a surprise. Maybe same for Ertz. Kirk can hit a big one. He's got this Antoine Wesley who's playing Hopkins' position, and he scored twice in Dallas. I don't think Stafford is this guy. I want Murray to be one of those guys who's like, yeah, I got this. You know, and I guess we want that for Allen, too. We had Allen in the playoffs last year, and, you know, they won two games. I don't know. I just really like Murray, and that's why I'm on the Cardinals getting points against a quarterback and a team that, I mean, there's a lot to be desired with the Rams. So that's why I'm on Arizona.
Going against Stafford, against a really good team, I don't think that's a bad idea. We've seen that one over the years. Before I forget, as long as you mentioned the Bills, something that did jump out to me this week with the end of the regular season, Bills win total.
Yeah.
They hit it. It was a push.
11. Yeah.
Yeah, right on it, right on it. You know, it was just some disappointing losses that time. It was exactly what they said before the season for Buffalo.
They lost every close game they played.
Yep.
You know, like they should have been higher. It should have been an over, but they every win was at least 12, which is amazing. Like that's almost never happened. And they lost every close game. So, all right. Joe, always a pleasure. And thanks for having me on your show Tuesday.
It was fun. You kind of forced me to lean New England with your...
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, listen to this, Joe.
Wait a minute.
Outing show. You've been outed.
No. He did not say New England's going to win. He did not say New England's going to cover. But just in his response on my McDermott question and his conservative nature and going against, and I'm just in my own mind, I'm thinking going against Belichick, and I've got to cover more than a field goal. I'm not saying the Bills are going to lose, but I'm saying I've got to cover more than the field goal. He did make me lean New England with his response on that one.
I will own that. Why do they lose every close game? You know, a couple of those games were like, let's punt it, let's kick field goals. And they went to New England and stomped on that team, and they went on fourth down all day. Like
they scored two touchdowns on drives with fourth downs, and one of the touchdowns was actually on a fourth down.
So if he gets, like, if it's the weather and the playoffs, you know, and it just sort of becomes, that's why I think it's a point worth making. That's why I think it's a point worth making. But he's done great here, and hopefully that does not become like the thing that gets him beat. That's all I'm saying. All right.
And speaking of people that have done great there in Buffalo, I'm hoping Bill Polian can do something because we need his help. He's apparently running the show the more and more I hear about what's happening in Chicago behind the scenes. And the word is he got Ryan Pace fired. So I love your guy, Bill Polian, automatically.
Hey.
Good luck with that. All right.
Yeah. I don't want to – I don't know.
Oh, no. I don't like that. 79 years old. Yeah, I know.
Assume the crash position, Joe. I'm sorry. I'm not excited about that at all for you.
Okay.
You're right. He had a great run here. You are right about that.
Yeah. He's incredible here.
It's a long time ago.
Long time ago. Great. Lamar Jackson opinion's great.
Yep.
Thanks, Joe. Oh, it's always great to talk to you. Thank
Sorry
you.
To end like this, Joe. Yeah. It's been good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Joe, wonderful. Just sort of, what's the word? Slurking off? Is that what you do? Just sort of sadly walking away from the phone. Yeah. Joe Ostrowski, the host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Be sure to listen to the BetQL Daily podcast for more of Joe's analysis. Just search BetQL wherever you find your podcasts. We'll have Sal on in about 12 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR.
You know, it takes all 11 to play defense, especially against this group. They're very fundamentally sound. They're going to come in here and give us their best shot, and we just got to take it and handle that, and everybody has to be in their gap. And then when they do decide to pass, I don't know how much, depending on the weather. Last time they came out here, they didn't throw worth a lick. So this time when they come out here, they might switch it up, and it might be a different game. But whatever they decide to do, we just got to be on it. We just got to be dialed in, locked in. Whatever they call on defense, you got to execute. And lab and not leave, you got to protect that reputation.
I like that. Ed Oliver, New England, and Damian Harris. Damian Harris, who hit the big one in the first meeting that the Patriots won and then scored three rushing touchdowns in the second meeting, he has a touchdown in every game of theirs except one since week four. Pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of randomness in touchdowns, but some of it isn't random. I mean, he's a guy, if not the guy, they lean on. There is Ramondre Stevenson and, you know, half dozen or so pass catchers that you might want to name as potential factors in this game. But Harris is number one, I think.
I agree with that. I think stopping their running game, and he is the guy there. I mean, I think Stevenson has been more of a compliment. And, you know, that's always tricky with Belichick teams, right? I mean, for years, be like, who do you trust to play in fantasy? It's always a different guy, it seems like, and not the guy that you choose to play. But it feels like Harris is the guy. And, like, if you're most worried about the running game, and I think you should be when you're thinking about New England, then that should be job one. Yep.
I think Stevenson might be just as good. I mean, down the road, at least. He started, I think, last week in Miami. Like, Harris was kind of iffy for the game, and Stevenson got a head injury, like, right away. It might have been the first play, like, right away in that game for New England. We'll talk to Sal about the injuries. The Bills have none among the players on the active roster, and the Patriots have a long list, but, you know, New England's kind of known for putting everybody on the injury report, so we'll see if Sal knows how to read between the lines on New England. Bills Patriots Saturday night. We'll talk about it with Sal Capaccio next here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.